Well, Boker Tov, everyone. Welcome to the special edition of the Aliyah Day, which is our insights into Shavuot. This is episode 5, so glad you are here. It is the 49th day of the Omer. We are right here in Erev Shavuot, a very auspicious time, a time of receiving the Torah anew, a time of rededicating our life to Hashem. It is a vow renewal. You know, many couples have vow renewals that they do from time to time, 20th anniversary, 25th anniversary, 30th anniversary. Shoshana and I, our anniversary is, this is the 25th year, our 25th anniversary, and I believe we're going to do a little vow renewal coming up here shortly, but this is our vow renewal with Hashem, right? And so this is what's taking place as we are coming into our meeting with Hashem. You know, we have a brand new mikveh. Some of you have had the opportunity to use it. We've been opening up the mikveh for certain purposes to certain folks, and others are starting to be able to use it. And everything is starting to work out. It's kind of one of those kind of things that's going on. But we should also know that this time period, this night, this event, like tonight, we're going to have the all-night Torah study, for instance. That is, in and of itself, a mikveh of Hashem. So this is a time to be immersed. So welcome. Glad you're here. Looking forward to everybody. Just as a reminder, for those who are new, tonight is Erev Shavuot. So tonight we're going to have an Erev, you should have an Erev meal, which would include the Kiddush over the cup of wine, something nice to eat. It's traditional to have dairy foods on the Shavuot. It's not required, of course. You can have, if Menashe is out there barbecuing a brisket and he wants to invite me over, that's fine. I'll eat it. No problem. I'll save the dairy for later. So, Baruch Hashem. But yes, that's traditional. The reason that we have dairy is because it's considered, you know, the Word of God, like milk and honey and so on. The milk of the Word, the sweetness of the Word, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so we do that, and then we have the all-night Torah study, and so then on Friday night, of course, is Erev Shabbat, so your regular Shabbat service for that. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be amazing. If you're local, if we have many people, actually, who've come in from out of town, from across the United States. Baruch Hashem. That's right. Rachel said dairy is life. I just happened to glance over and see that's true. Dairy is life. It's true. So we have many people who are coming in from town. So if you're coming into town, we're going to be having our Erev at our homes. Everybody will be having the Erev at the home. And then we'll gather here at the shul at 10 o'clock for the beginning of the all-night Torah study. We'll go from 10 o'clock until 6 a.m. And then at 6 a.m., hopefully we'll have a minyan. We did last year, so prayerfully we'll have a minyan. And we'll have a brief... I was teasing Shlomo last night. I said, we're going to have a brief Shacharit service. It'll be a condensed Amidah. And then we'll go home and get some rest. Then we'll come back here and gather as a community for a Minka service, which will be interesting and fun. We don't do that very often. We have Minka every Shabbat, but what I mean is we don't have a Minka service itself necessarily very often. So that'll be a lot of fun. Well, let's look at some insights, shall we? Some things we want to share about this holiday. One of the customs of this holiday is, as I've mentioned a couple times, and I want to reiterate it because it's very important. This holiday, Shavuot, is particularly linked to the concept of conversion, the concept of bringing people into the kingdom. The concept of taking the Gentile and making them a Jew. Why do I say that? Well, two core reasons. Number one, the parasha that we read on Shavuot, the parasha which is really the parasha of the holiday, comes from the book of Exodus chapter 19, and also, of course, chapter 20, which is the giving of the Torah. We'll be reading that in the shul, reading through the entire, as we say, Ten Commandments. But that parasha is named after Yitro, the father-in-law of Moses. Yitro is known as one of the quintessential converts. And when we got to Parasha Yitro, in fact, you can go back on the Aliyah Day, going back and listen to the week of Yitro, and you'll hear some incredible insights with respect to conversion and the meaning of conversion and the heart of conversion. A lot of messianics, and just to be frank out there, a lot of messianics out there don't believe in conversion. They've been taught to believe that it's a messianic Gentile world, and that if you're a Gentile, you should stay a Gentile, and that yada yada yada, blah blah blah, and basically none of that is true, not even remotely true, not even close to being true. Judaism has always been about converts, and as I said in an Aliyah previous, if it wasn't for converts, there wouldn't be any Judaism. The first Jew, Abraham, was a convert. So the idea of conversion, bringing people who are outside the covenant into the covenant, is quintessential to Torah. So the name of the parasha is Yitro, so that the name of the parasha in which we receive the Torah is named after a convert. And then, during Shavuot, it's customary to read the book of Ruth, which Ruth is another quintessential convert. In fact, there's really two places, there's two events from which Judaism receives the rules or the ritual, if you will, of how to become a convert. How to go from being a Gentile to becoming a Jew. And by the way, I don't mean spiritual Jew. According to Judaism, if you are a convert, you are 100% Jewish in every respect. Everything about you changes. You become literally a new creation, a newborn baby, literally. So the idea of born again, that phrase, born again, born anew, comes from conversion. It's a Jewish term, not a Christian term. You say, wow, the born-again Christians. Well, guess what? Every Jew is a born-again Jew. Hello. Did you know that? Did you know that if you're Jewish this morning, you're born again? That's right. You thought born-again Christian was a Christian thing. You thought Paul made that up. No, he didn't. That goes all the way back to a guy named Moshe. Anyway, I digress. So the two places from which we get the rituals conversion come from the events surrounding Mount Sinai, from Parsha Yitro, where we were preparing ourselves to receive the Torah, and from the book of Ruth. Those are the two places from which we get those insights. And I believe that, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong about this. I want to say that Yevamot is the tractate that brings us down, but I could be wrong about that, but I believe I'm correct. But that doesn't matter. The point being is that this is where it comes. Now, the question becomes, why do we receive the rituals of conversion from the events surrounding Mount Sinai in particular, and then also Ruth in general? Well, from Ruth, we receive this because there's lots of rabbinic discourse, ancient rabbinic discourse, on what Naomi was teaching Ruth as they walked towards Bethlehem and was teaching her to accept the covenant and so on. But going back to the Sinai event, the reason that the rituals of conversion were taken from that event is because the Jewish idea is that we all have to enter the covenant the same way. In other words, in Judaism, the idea is, are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? The idea in Judaism is there's only one way to God. And it's vis-a-vis the Torah. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. I know. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cause you to spill your coffee. But you thought that when Yeshua said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. You thought that was something new. Because it's in the New Testament, and naturally anything in the New Testament has to be completely new. You didn't realize that it's always been that way. Yeshua is the living Torah. And no man comes to the Father except through the living Torah. And the way that we receive the living Torah is the same way in which we received it at Mount Sinai, which is the same way in which the Gentile receives it, then who then becomes a Jew. Why? Because we're all equal under the law. Everybody has to receive the Torah, has to come into covenant the very same way. And by the way, something else you didn't know was that every single Jew who came out of Egypt, every one of them, everybody, at Mount Sinai, to include the mixed multitude, everybody together was or were converts. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that is true. According to Judaism, according to the sages, according to the rabbis, everybody that came out of Egypt, everybody had to go to the mikveh. Everybody had to change their clothes. Everybody had to receive or prepare themselves to receive the Torah the same way, which means that every single Jewish soul that was at Mount Sinai was a convert to Judaism. Everybody. Which is why converts go through the rituals that they go through today, and that is because we all have to come to God the same way. We have to come to Him through the way, through the truth, and through the life. That's the living Torah. That's the original Torah tablets. That's the original Mashiach, because only through that can we come to the Father. You can't connect to God any other way. There's no Roman road. There's no Ephesians road. The road doesn't go through Corinth. Right? The road is through Yerushalayim. Why do we know that? Because it says in Isaiah that the nations will come to Jerusalem, because the word of the Lord will come from Jerusalem. The Torah from Zion. The Torah is not coming from Galatians. The nations are not going to gather around Colossia. It's not what it says. They're not going to gather around the Vatican. It's not how it works. It's not what the Bible says. Y'all enjoying this so far? I am. So, it says, so by the way, what does this mean? In addition to everything else I've just said. Well, it means that tonight, if our hearts are right, and if we really mean it, and if we really want to, that tonight we all convert. That tonight we all become born again. That tonight we all become newborn babies. That tonight everything is washed away and all things become new. I've said all week long that tonight is about receiving the Torah anew. But also tonight is about becoming new. It's about becoming a new person, a new creation. It's a birthing process. That all of this counting of the Omer until tonight has been just the gestation period of us being in the womb. Tonight is the night in which we become born again. We do that as we renew our commitment to Hashem, renew our commitment to His holy Torah, as we accept the way, the truth, and the life, as we accept the Mashiach. So it says here in Sefer Emes, it says, this revelation of the world's inner nature, talking about the Torah, can be understood as a process of return to the roots of the universe. That's pretty amazing, isn't it, that when we come back to Shavuot, when we come to the Torah, that we're returning to the roots of the universe. It says here, however, this search for the world self was not limited to the Jewish people alone. Now, I have to say this, and I'm not trying to be picky or nitpicky. A lot of people come from various backgrounds, but a lot of people come from messianic backgrounds. So I have to point things out. It's not my intention to do anything other than just that. But messianic Judaism teaches that, look, if you're Jewish, then you should keep the Torah. And if you're a non-Jew, you shouldn't keep the Torah, or at the very least, you don't have to. Now, I just want to say something, and please hear my heart on this. I know there are exceptions to the rule, but I happen to have the privilege of knowing the heavy hitters, personally, some heavy hitters, the people that make up and shape and have shaped the Messianic movement, big-time leaders. I'm talking about big-time leaders. I'm not talking about guys that have 20 people congregations or 30 people congregations. I'm talking about people that are on television, that have ginormous places, that have huge worldwide influence, okay? None of them keep the Torah. Not a single one. Okay? That aside, the idea that the Torah is only for the Jewish people and not for anybody else is a falsehood. Now, to clarify that a little bit, to fine-tune it, to kind of bring it into focus, someone says, I knew it. I knew what you believed, Rabbi, was that the Torah was for Gentiles. I didn't say that. The Torah is not for Gentiles. If you're a Gentile, you're, by definition, outside the covenant. The Torah is not for you if you're outside the covenant. The Torah is only for you if you're inside the covenant. So if you embrace Torah, then that naturally means you have to convert and become a Jew. You can't be a Gentile and keep Torah. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? I want to be crystal clear. I didn't say the Torah is for Gentiles. What it's saying here is the Torah is for the whole world, meaning that that God's desire is that the whole world would receive it, which means that the whole world will receive it the same way in which we received it, which means that they would become Jews because we became Jews. So it says, the Torah was transmitted in 70 languages. The Torah was transmitted in 70 languages because all the 70 nations of the world stood to benefit from the renewal singled at Mount Sinai. Now, listen. Whew, man, there's so much here. So wonderful. Listen, when Acts chapter 2 happened and the Ruach came down. By the way, Acts chapter 2, this happened at Shavuot. Okay, it was Shavuot. The day of Acts chapter 2 was Shavuot. That's why everybody was in Jerusalem. Now, what does it say in Acts chapter 2? It says that tongues of fire danced on our heads and we began to pray and bless God. And then what happened? It said that everybody that was there, they were Jews from all over the world, heard the word of God being proclaimed and so on in their own language. So let's put it together real quick. Tongues of fire on our head. Everybody's hearing the word of God in their own language. Do you know that the Midrash Rabbah says that when the Torah came down on Mount Sinai, it said that there was lightnings that came on the mountain? It says that in the scripture in Exodus 19. By the way, the word for lightnings, if you look it up in the Hebrew, the word for lightnings is lapidim. In other words, torches. We translate it as lightnings, flashes of lightning, but the Torah actually says there was lapidim, torches on the mountain. To that effect, the rabbis brought down an ancient midrash, an ancient story that says that what happened was those lapidim, those torches came down off the mountain and danced around, as it were, the camps of the Israelites as God was speaking the Torah in all 70 known languages, so that everybody in the camp, whether they were from whatever language they spoke, because remember there was a mixed multitude, everybody at the day of the giving of the Torah, everybody heard the Torah in their own language. There's even some insights that say that the whole world heard the Torah. It reverberated across the entire globe. Now, why do you think Hashem did that? If Hashem wanted just Jews to keep the Torah and didn't really care if anybody else did, then he would have just spoken the Torah in Hebrew. But God spoke the Torah in the 70 known languages. Why? Because he wanted the nations of the world to receive the Torah. As it says here, another insight that God made these inner dimensions of the universe public. God was revealing himself, and he wanted to be revealed to the entire universe, to all the nations. So tonight is about conversion. It's about becoming a new person. It's where our faults and failures, our sins, our shortcomings, that they all become new. As it says here in Sefer Amos, a convert is considered a newly born person. It says, it stands to reason that if a convert gains a new persona through his personal commitment to Judaism, a Jew also must renew his lease on life by reclaiming his stake in Torah, especially when he does so together with the entire Jewish people. Tonight is a night, ladies and gentlemen, where we get to erase the past. I'm talking about the past that happened 5 minutes ago, or the past that happened 20 years ago, or the past that happened yesterday. I'm talking about tonight is the night where we get to erase it all and start new. It's about renewal. The Arizal talked about this, where this is where we enter the 50th gate of purity, and we get to be completely renewed. There's another insight here that talks about tonight is where we become echad with the Torah. We become one with the Torah. We embrace it. We allow it to shape our life. This is, Sefer Amos brings down an insight here from Tanit Slika 7a, where it says that the Torah is the tree of life. On Shavuot, the place of every Jew in relation to the tree of life is decided, whether his portion in Torah be drawn from the tree trunk and the roots, or from its periphery, the branches and the leaves. Tonight is where we get to choose what part of the tree we eat. And let's not forget that there is a Midrash that says that in the Garden of Eden, it wasn't just the fruit that tasted good. If you walked up to a tree in the Garden of Eden, let's say it was an apple tree, you say, well, the apple is delicious. Well, in the Garden of Eden, the leaf tasted like an apple, and even the bark of the tree tasted like a fresh apple. So God says to us, listen, you can stay on the towards the outside and just eat kind of off the periphery, just eat the branches and the leaves, or you can press in and you can sup from the sap of the tree. This is where we get to do. We get to make all things new, all things pure, all things clean. Tonight, as I've been talking about, is the all-night Torah study. This is called Tikkun Leil Shavuot. Tikkun Leil Shavuot. There's many, many facets of tonight. It's about us renewing ourselves. It's about becoming born again on a personal level. And as we gather and study Torah all night long, we are doing our part to bring tikkun to the world. The Zohar suggests, according to Sefer Emes, the Torah suggests that staying up on Shavuot, the Zohar, Slika, the Zohar suggests that staying up on Shavuot night is an especially auspicious act. For one who learns Torah diligently on this occasion is virtually assured of longevity. Virtually assured of longevity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, can I just say something here? I enjoy my sleep. I'm one of those kind of people that I need at a minimum 7 hours, preferably eight. And if I don't get good sleep, I can start feeling it the next day. I'm a bit of a night owl. I like to stay up later than and so on. That's neither here nor there, but I need my sleep. So staying up all night and studying like this is a check. Hadassah says, me too. I know, honey. My daughter, Lord, she needs some sleep. Help her, Lord. And I'm the same way. She gets it from me. Anyway. So it's challenging. It's challenging. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to drink some coffee. I'm going to do whatever I don't eat a lot of sweets, but I don't know. I may have some honey buns, whatever I got to do, make it happen. Why? Because I believe in it. Now if you need to go to bed, this is not a test of endurance. It's not a competition. If you stay up till midnight or you stay up till 1 o'clock or you, whatever the case may be, hey, I'm not going to put any shaving cream in your hand and tickle your nose. It's all good. You know, whatever you want to do is great. I don't mean to make it sound like a competition or that if you're less spiritual, I don't mean that at all. I'm just talking about me, and how I view it. Because Lord knows, probably more than anybody here, I need to have renewal in my life. The Arizal said in the Mishnah Berurah, or citing rather the Mishnah Berurah, promises that someone who does not sleep at all and learns Torah will live the year without harm. That was his opinion, Baruch Hashem. As I mentioned, that tonight is a mikvah. Patricia asked about Ruth. We're going to be reading the book of Ruth during the Minka time on Shabbat. Ruth is read on the second day of Shavuot, traditionally. And so when we have our Minka service on Shabbat, then we will, prior to Minka, we will read the book of Ruth together. So it says that's a custom, by the way. So if you want to read it early, if you want to read it tonight, you can. There's nothing to say that, you know, you can't do that. I'm just saying what we are going to do is our custom. It says the custom of conducting an all-night Torah vigil on the first night of Shavuot is cited by the Zohar and the commentary on Parashah Emor 97b. The Zohar describes a process of spiritual purification. During these days and weeks, our personal efforts to cleanse ourselves of spiritual impurities are critical. As the Torah says in Vayikra 23:15, Us partem lachem, you shall count for yourself. However, if we make sincere efforts during the Sifra, during the counting of the Omer, we can be assured that Adonai will shower us with an outpouring of Tahara on the night of Shavuot. As the sages say in Shabbat 104a, someone who comes to purify himself will receive divine help. The Zohar reminds us that the Tahar, the purity that descends on those who immerse themselves in Torah, comes from on high. And many commentators even mention, by the way, and just a couple more things right here, just real quick. Many commentators note that the Yetzer Hara is disabled on the night of Shavuot. So God is so gracious to us that he removes from us the Yetzer Hara on this night so that we can receive his holy Torah completely and totally. And one final thing, it says, this will be our final insight for this time period. It says, to an extent, the experience on Tikkun Leil Shavuot leaves a permanent effect on the Jewish psyche. It is clear that no object, however hallowed, can remain suspended in air with no basis of support. On Shavuot, aided by the purity unique to the day, collective world Jewry is made into a supportive base for the Torah, a vessel to receive the Torah. In effect, Seifus Emet writes, in effect then, Tikkun Leil Shavuot forges a spiritual union between the Jewish people and the Torah, making us a foundation for the sturdy establishment of Torah in the world. May God help us to become a foundation upon which he can lay his Torah and that light can shine to the whole world. Hag Sameach Shavuot. May everybody have a blessed Erev tonight. And I pray that we'll see everybody in Shul for the Torah study all night. We will be broadcasting it. So obviously, if you're not local, you can watch with us and learn with us. Stay up as long as you can. If you can make it through the whole thing, fantastic. If not, we understand. I understand. Trust me. Well, otherwise, we'll see everybody tonight. Hag Sameach. Have a wonderful and amazing day.